Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, Central Standard Time on Thursday, the 8th of February. I wanted to mention that we have a new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600. That's in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a 50,000-watt station. I'm glad that you could be aboard for Mark Dankoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I wanted to mention again that tomorrow, Shireen Nashat, the Persian human rights activist from Los Angeles, will be on this show for an hour and a half or so. Then Chalmers Johnson, formerly of the Central Intelligence Agency, who has been a tenured professor of political science at the University of California, both in Berkeley and San Diego for 30 years, will be on to discuss his new book, the title of which is Nemesis, The Final Days. I believe it's entitled Nemesis, The Final Days of the American Republic. It's a very, very fascinating volume. I read a review of it yesterday in the Los Angeles Times, and Dr. Johnson will spend 30 minutes of his time giving us his take on just how bad things are with this Middle Eastern policy. Jim, back to our conversation. I had submitted a letter to the Toronto Sun, which basically took issue with this piece of garbage that was written by a guy named Michael Coren, C-O-R-E-N. And the title of that, which was printed in the Toronto Sun, was We Should Nuke Iran. Now, let me read the whole text of this letter so that the listeners can get a gist of what I did say. And then I want to make a point that will come back to your whole issue about control. I'm writing to the Toronto Sun in Canada. Dear Sir or Madam, world-renowned Persian scholar Dr. Kaveh Farouk of Vancouver, British Columbia, has informed me of the irresponsible diatribe your publication printed by Michael Coren, entitled We Should Nuke Iran, quote-unquote. To clear the air before Mr. Coren engages in an ad hominem attack directed at me, I am not a part of what he describes as the quote-unquote usual suspects, comprised of, quote, post-Christian churches, the Marxists, the fellow travelers, the fifth columnists, unquote. For the record, I am an Orthodox Lutheran clergyman and a Pat Buchanan, Robert Taft Republican. My father was a director of logistics for the Shah of Iran's Imperial Iranian Air Force a generation ago. That having been said, Mr. Coren proceeds to dismiss all of the moral and military concerns about a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran levied by significant elements of the American political and military establishments in the United States. His lack of concern about the danger of massive civilian casualties in Iran, a political blowback from the operation which would create sympathetic backlash support for the IRI regime in Tehran, and the possible overthrow of pro-American governments in Pakistan, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, the military difficulties inherent in such an aerial strike, and an Islamic backlash against the West from Sumatra to Indonesia is palpable. He also fails to acknowledge the thinly veiled agenda of the Project for a New American Century crowd in pushing for cataclysm with Tehran. Put simply, the great new game for fossil fuel reserves and pipelines and the machinations of the Israeli government in Tel Aviv are believed by many to have far more to do with the trigger-happy inclinations of the neoconservatives in the Bush administration than with the alleged state of the Iranian nuclear program. In regard to the latter, Mr. Coren's assessment of the nuclear threat emanating from Iran is not shared by world-renowned nuclear expert Gordon Prather at all. What are Mr. Coren's credentials in serving as an op-ed political and military analyst for your publication? Finally, I would like to ask what is referred to in the United States as a, quote, truth in advertising, unquote, issue. Does Mr. Michael Coren have any direct or indirect connections with publicized operations of the Israeli military and intelligence establishments designed to place his brand of analysis in the Toronto Sun and other such organs of opinion as targeted pieces of agitation propaganda? I'll finish that text when we come back, Jim, and then I'll ask you to respond to it. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We're back. This is Mark Dantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined this week by a new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. Welcome to Mark Dantkos, America, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking with a caller from Texas here, Jim, about the whole issue of the Israeli control, the Jewish control of the American political process. And I was making reference to a letter that I wrote to the Toronto Sun back in September of last year, responding to a ridiculous op-ed piece written up there for that publication by a guy named Michael Coren, C-O-R-E-N. That piece published by the Toronto Sun was entitled, "We Should Nuke Iran." I say some things about myself on a biographic basis there, biographical basis there, so that there could be no suspicion that I was some sort of a pinko, commie, anti-Christian type, as Michael Coren implies in his piece that critics of Israel are. I then go on in that text of that article to discuss all of the things connected to an American attack on Iran that would be a blowback of unbelievable proportions that were never considered by Michael Coren in his piece for the Toronto Sun. And then here is the key section of my letter, getting down to the last part of it, Jim, where I say to the Toronto Sun, finally, I would like to ask what is referred to in the United States as a truth in advertising issue. Does Mr. Michael Korn have any direct or indirect connections with publicized operations of the Israeli military and intelligence establishment designed to place his brand of analysis in the Toronto Sun and other such organs of opinion as targeted pieces of agitation propaganda? Specifically, I refer to Jim Loeb of IPS's recent expose of CanWest Global Communications in Canada and the links of its handlers, the Asper family, who have known and direct connections to the Likud Party of Israel and prominent neoconservatives in the West. I also refer to the recent publicity surrounding Mr. Amir Gassin, the Director of Public Affairs for the Department of the Foreign Ministry in Israel, whose Hasbara project, quote-unquote, is designed to create pro-Israel media spin around the globe, including the utilization of op-ed pieces which suspiciously look a lot like Mr. Korin's in strategic places like the Toronto Sun. Just curious. And if the United States is honestly concerned about the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction among dangerous regimes in the Middle East, perhaps it should begin with the Zionist State of Israel, the leading nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in the region. And then, of course, I sign my name to that. Now, Jim, I know that you would probably agree with most, if not all, of what I said. But you know what I find to be the most interesting aspect of my letter?
What's that?
Well, the Toronto Sun never printed, to my knowledge, never printed that letter. You know where it ended up?
Where?
It ended up in the website of the United Jewish Agency Federation of Greater Toronto, Canada. Isn't that fascinating? That this thing apparently went from the Toronto Sun directly to the United Jewish Agency Federation of Greater Toronto as a piece that they should run. So to my knowledge, they never ran my rebuttal of what Michael Korin said in his just this incredibly bad article entitled "We Should Nuke Iran." The Toronto Sun, as far as I know, did not print my letter, but it ends up on the webpage of the United Jewish Agency Federation of Greater Toronto, which suggests that there's a rather interesting pipeline going on from the Toronto Sun to the United Jewish Agency Federation of Greater Toronto. What do you think?
I think that at the time here, a few years ago, Izzy Asper controlled about 80% of all the communications in Canada, newspapers, TV stations, radio, the whole works, my understanding. I think he died a couple of years ago, and his son is running things now. But I might have to give you a little warning here that you're probably, as a matter of fact, I know you were in violation of Canadian law when you wrote that letter. Because according to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal, any communication, be it telephone, internet, the mail, even public meetings, speaking in public meetings, when you make a statement that could be construed that it might or could cause hurt feelings among the selected people, and we know who they are, number one, anyway, that you are in violation of that tribunal. And I wouldn't set foot in Canada if I were you, because you could be facing a $50,000 fine and couple of years in the slammer.
Yeah,
I hope you're aware of that.
Yes, and for people who think that what you're saying is not factual, all you have to do is look at some of these internationally publicized cases that relate to anybody that questions the orthodoxy surrounding Israel and the Holocaust and Zionism and so forth. And I hasten to add that I am not an advocate of some of the views that have been expressed by some of these people in Europe and in Canada. I would agree with them on certain things, would disagree with them on others, would have to plead some degree of historical ignorance about some of these other areas of debate. But the point is that you're precisely correct. We're talking about a freedom of speech issue. We're talking about the whole question coming full circle to this hate crimes business where in Canada and, as I understand it, in Australia and throughout Europe, you have the criminalization of what is, in the American context historically, legitimate freedom of expression under the First Amendment of our Constitution. So we're talking about a situation where the powers that control this process want to criminalize free speech.
Are you aware of a guy up in Canada named Richard Warman?
No, I'm not. Enlighten me.
He's the main instigator, and he's the one that files most of these charges against the people that are brought up before the hate crimes tribunal or the, as they call it, the Human Rights Tribunal. Anyhow, this guy's famous, so you can find him on the internet. And
how does he spell his last name?
W-A-R-M-A-N. I believe it's one N, M-A-N. It could be two N's. Richard Warman's his name.
Okay, I'll look for it.
And he's the one that files most of the charges, and I think his main job is to police the internet, to mail publications and so forth, to find anybody that's in any way critical of Israel or anybody that's associated with Israel, and he immediately brings charges against them. And the Human Rights Tribunal, so far, nobody's ever been declared not guilty in any of the trials they've ever had. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and as you look at this whole thing, it quite clearly is ominous when you get into the larger issues that this presents in the American political scene. I find it incredible that whether you're talking about Hillary Clinton in the transcript of her speech to IPAC, which is, again, found among other places at aljazeera.info today, which is an American website coming out of Georgia. Whether you're looking at that speech or you're looking at what Edwards was saying and what Clark is saying and, you know, people like Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, not to mention a whole series of people in the Republican Party, all sounding the same orthodoxy on this business, it really is terrifying because, you know, when you consider the implications, if this has gotten into Europe, if it's gotten into Canada, if it's gotten into Australia, as we watch this current spate of hate crimes legislation that is starting to wind its way through the legislative processes of the American House and Senate, clearly we're going to have to be on guard for this because folks say it can't happen here, but I think that that's a very naive point of view.
A good way to describe it is this brave new world that you're describing is coming to your neighborhood soon, so to speak. We're the last country that they don't have control over, the last Western country that doesn't have hate crimes laws and the whole nine yards, so to speak. And to mention these Republicans that swear fealty to Israel, Tom DeLay a couple of years ago went over and volunteered to fight to the death for Israel should they ever be attacked. And Dick Armey, in a famous interview on MSNBC, stated that Israel should get whatever they want. If they want to throw the Palestinians out, well, let them go to Jordan or somewhere. They got no right to be there in the first place. Man actually said it in an interview.
Yeah, and
then you got Bill Clinton a couple of years ago. He was addressing them, I think, on one of his paid tour speeches over there, where he volunteered if Israel should be attacked, he would grab a rifle and leap into the trenches and fight with them to the death. Now, can you picture Bill Clinton doing anything like that for anybody? I mean, it took me a long time to stop laughing over that statement he made.
Yeah, I would suspect that we would find Bill Clinton at a ski lodge in Aspen, regardless of what the issues were.
Two or three bimbos.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is the context in which we need to evaluate this stuff. And to me, again, it is absolutely terrifying to look at these lapdogs on this issue on both sides of the aisle in the American Congress, and certainly we're getting the same thing coming out of the Bush administration, where it's not simply a question of what you and I, you know, in this country, thus far we have not seen our constitutional rights completely evaporated. I think that's in process. But even aside from the question of whether people like you and I have the constitutional and legal right to engage in peaceable free speech dissension from orthodoxy on this or any other subject, the fact of the matter is that there are so many informal ways that these guys utilize to get at people. You know, you can be ostracized in your community. If you happen to be working for a corporation, you can be silently fired on drummed-up charges. The list just goes on and on. I mean, I'm aware of a guy who's been on this show. And this fellow is his name is Dr. E. Michael Jones. He's from Philadelphia. He got a Ph.D. from Temple University. His site entitled Culture Wars has an awful lot to do with what's happened in this country culturally for many, many years. Jones has been, and this guy's a solid, respectable academic. If you've ever seen his work, I mean, this stuff is totally defensible. I want to mention briefly when we come back what happened to him after he wrote an op-ed piece that appeared in a newspaper up in Philadelphia. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can call me at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's 9:23 in the morning Central Standard Time on Thursday, the 8th of February. We've been talking about a whole series of things related to both establishment press and anti-establishment, non-establishment press today, speaking about this ludicrous piece on the front page of the Washington Post today about the posturing of 7 Republican senators on this whole issue of Iraq. Then, of course, we looked at USA and AP and their stories on the fact that the Americans have in the last 4 months lost more people over there in Iraq than in any previous four-month segment of time since March of 2003. There was the Blackwater USA tragedy that's reported in the corporate press that we lost 4 Blackwater USA employees over there, and that this is supposedly going to start some sort of House investigation now. And we've delved into the whole issue of the Israeli lobby as being the driving force, in my judgment, in this present situation involving the United States and both Iraq and Iran. And what seems to be the American policy position of doing exactly what the British did in Mesopotamia and in Palestine in the 20th century, which was among the biggest reasons why the British Empire went into complete eclipse in those years, because they discovered that they had an unsustainable policy that there was not enough money for and not enough men for. We had a situation where Marty Callahan, my old friend from Valparaiso University, who's now a film producer with Third Coast Films, was talking a couple of months ago on this show about the fact that, according to Marty's new film on British policy in the Middle East and World War I, the Brits at one point had 1 million men under force of arms in Mesopotamia and could not sustain what they were trying to do there. I suspect that history is in the process of repeating itself, only this time it's the American Empire that's taking it on the chin. And this is a very, very tragic and terrible thing that clearly is being supported by both of the major political parties in the United States. Look at people, as Jim was saying, our caller from Texas, look at Tom DeLay on the Republican side of the aisle, just as one example, and compare the things that DeLay has been saying on Israel and Zionism and our policy in the Middle East with what we're getting from Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and General Wesley Clark and Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer of Maryland. It's the identical thing, folks. The rhetoric might be adjusted a little bit here or there, but essentially these individuals on both sides of this alleged two-party system, both sides of this alleged divide in regard to the Republican and Democratic sides of the aisle up on the Hill, is not a divide at all. These guys have control. The Israeli lobby has control of American political debate. They've got it in the Congress. They've got it in the media. They have it in the educational institutions. Jim, I was struck by the fact in Hillary Clinton's speech before IPAC, she was talking about an attempt on her part in 1999 manipulating and tinkering with the whole question of what Palestinian academic textbooks say or don't say about Israel. That kind of begs the question as to what Israeli textbooks say about Palestinians and what Israeli funded textbooks in the United States tend not to say in regard to some of the true historical facts of what happened in 1947 and 1948. That kind of attempt to control educational testing and educational textbook dissemination and so forth would seem to parallel the hate crimes legislation in regard to what they're trying to do. Would that be your take? That's certainly what I think on the subject. As you examine this whole business, clearly this is a lock, stock, and barrel policy. You've got the educational institutions. You've got the news media. You've got the executive and legislative branches of government, and virtually the entire debate is conducted along those lines from that time on forward. Getting back to something we were talking about earlier in regard to Angus Reid Global Monitor's take on the Iran war in regard to American polling, these are very interesting numbers, aren't they? Because Angus Reid is quite obviously an establishment polling service. Yet those numbers that we did cite earlier for the caller indicate that 57% of the respondents think it is very or somewhat likely that the U.S. will be at war with Iran within the next year. Who knows what the actual figure might be if every adult in the country that could think at all responded to the poll. But it does suggest specifically that there is a very, very difficult problem here for the establishment when it comes to American political opinion. This gets into something that Jim was talking about when he called in, and that is the whole question of a false flag incident. Let's say that you're involved in trying to promote a war. Let's say, of course, that the war that you have promoted was in the initial stages of the conflict, something that seemed to be relatively popular with the American public. There was the right symbolism involved. There was the right manipulation of the issues involved in terms of going to war. You had a largely compliant Congress at that juncture because they did not want to buck the lobbies that were in play in regard to the creation of this war. All this three, the Israeli lobby, the petroleum consortiums, And then what my friend Dr. Richard Cummings has talked about recently in his post, Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, that the military-industrial complex and the defense industry, specifically Lockheed, also had a vested interest in this country going to war. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's 9:33 in the morning, Central Standard Time, on Thursday, the 8th of February, 2007. I wanted to welcome WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee, to both Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. That is a 50,000-watt station in Memphis. They're going to be carrying Mark Dankos, America, regularly. And I'm very pleased to have this new arrangement, and I trust that in the days ahead, this will enable not only me, but the other fine hosts of this network to get their messages out before a wider community as we seem to be moving headlong toward a greater conflict with Iran. As I was saying before the last commercial break, Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon will be on the show tomorrow from basically, let's see, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Dr. Chalmers Johnson will be on to discuss his new book, Nemesis, The Final Days of the American Empire. Dr. Johnson was involved with the National Intelligence Estimates for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972. He has been teaching for over 30 years at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego. And again, I think it'll be a real treat to take a look over just a brief 30-minute period of time at his new book, which has now been reviewed by the Los Angeles Times and dovetails with what those of us in the paleo-conservative America First movement in this country have been indicating is the case in regard to Middle Eastern policy and domestic policy when it comes to the Israeli lobby, and to what the caller Jim, I think, quite legitimately clarifies is not an issue of influence, but an issue of control. These guys control the process, and as long as they control the process, we're going to have really bad policies that are going to affect the lives of thousands upon millions of people. Here's a story that dovetails with what we've been talking about with Hillary Clinton and with John Edwards, of course, and with Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Tom DeLay, and the list goes on in regard to Jewish-owned and neocon-owned politicians in the American political spectrum in the establishment. The Washington Times noted last week that there was a headline that did not, in their view, make a blip on the radar screen. The so-called headline was U.S. Presidential Candidates Court Israel. Now, of course, the Washington Times is owned by the infamous Sung Myung Moon and the Unification Church, which are entities that I have little or no use for, I hasten to add. But it is particularly interesting that the Washington Times, which is a pro-Zionist publication, would run this particular thing. But Joshua Mitnick's piece for the Washington Times indicates, quote, presidential hopefuls Mitt Romney, that is the Republican from Massachusetts, John Edwards, and John McCain, all detoured through Israel on the way to New Hampshire, seemingly competing to see who could be strongest in the defense of the Jewish states, unquote. These guys were speaking either in person or by video link at a security conference held in Herzliya, just north of Tel Aviv. And these individuals mentioned here, Romney, Edwards, and McCain, among others, called for ways to prevent Iran's government from acquiring nuclear weapons. The Washington Times says, quote, while stressing the strong U.S.-Israel ties, the presidential hopefuls all agreed that the U.S. has to step up sanctions on Iran and leave the possibility of a military attack on the table, quote unquote. As you go through this article in the Washington Times from last week, it's quite clear that Romney and Edwards and McClain were all over there in Herzliya, Israel, to float trial balloons in regard to their own candidacies and to underscore that there is an absolute link between all of these guys and what General Wesley Clark has described as New York-based Jewish money men. And this, of course, extends to the Likud government of Israel as well. Senator McCain, for example, in the Washington Times, said that he supported exploring a strengthening of ties between Israel and NATO. Hey, that's a great idea, isn't it? Strengthen ties between Israel and NATO as a means of easing Israel's insecurity. Romney, who has urged repeatedly that there should be a divestiture movement of assets away from Iran. Mitt Romney has also talked, according to the Washington Times, about seeking an indictment of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad on genocide charges, and also has said, quote unquote, that pursuing nuclear weapons can be a source of peril, unquote, for Iran. Romney really tried to bring in the Arab angle on this and indicate that Arab states must join this effort to prevent a nuclear Iran. Romney then went into the predictable neoconservative line that the challenge posed by Iran and what he calls militant Islam are to be compared with the earlier conflicts with fascism and totalitarian communism. And then Romney says exactly what McCain has said exactly what Edwards has said, exactly what Hillary Clinton has said, exactly what Nancy Pelosi has said, exactly what Steny Hoyer has said, and most apropos for this conversation today, what the President of the United States has said. Quote, the military option remains on the table, unquote. This is Mitt Romney being quoted at the 7th Annual Herzliya Conference in Herzliya, Israel, by the Washington Times. And then, of course, Newt Gingrich gets into the whole mix and starts talking about the same kinds of issues. Can you imagine a situation where if this idiotic idea of linking Israel to NATO actually became a factor, we would then be guaranteed of having the ultimate tripwire to begin World War III, it seems to me. In the first place, there were conservatives in the aftermath of World War II and during the height of the Cold War who supported the United States' involvement with NATO, the so-called North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's very clear that if you look at the original charter of NATO, that it had only one purpose. That purpose was to defend Western and Northern Europe from an attack on the part of the Soviet Union. That's all that it was. Isn't it curious to see now how, with the so-called end of the former Soviet Union, that NATO is being put forward by all kinds of globalists as a military police force to be used whenever the military industrial complex and the globalists decide that it's going to be employed? McCain brings to the fore, John McCain, the Republican of Arizona, brings to the fore this absurd idea, highly dangerous idea, that NATO should guarantee Israel's security. Again, this is not only utilizing NATO for a purpose that was never discussed in the original charter of that organization. There is no one in the United States Congress who has voted to approve America's involvement in a North Atlantic Treaty Organization that has these kinds of security guarantees in it. That is not what the United States Congress originally approved when we entered NATO. And then you have, of course, the larger question of what is missed by Romney. It's missed by Edwards. It's certainly missed by McCain and Hillary Clinton and Hoyer and Pelosi and DeLay, and the list just goes on and on. No one is talking about this whole issue of the, quoting McCain here, the so-called insecurity of Israel. Why is Israel insecure? Are they insecure because despite the fact that they're wonderful, nice guys, there are people who don't want them to exist? Or is it because they continue to violate international law when it comes to a military occupation of Gaza and the West Bank? That's a very important issue, isn't it? Israel, it seems to me, has never honestly come to the negotiating table on this whole question of Gaza and the whole question of the West Bank. We have there an ongoing military occupation. We have the involvement of Israel in urging the United States, both above board and also in the subterranean realm, to attack not only Iraq but Iran. We have a circumstance where Israel is armed to the teeth with nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons in that region and wants to continue the status quo on the West Bank and Gaza at the point of a gun barrel. This is the reason for the level of insecurity that we're seeing in the region, and without minimizing the fact that there are certainly bad guys on the other side of the equation in terms of the Islamic world, that these individuals are not crystal clear and pure either. The fact of the matter remains that our foreign policy has totally been on the side of Israel and the Zionist state ever since the formulation of that body in 1948. And when you look at that whole issue, it begs the question, again, as to whether or not that military and political and economic relationship is in the interest of the American people. And again, going back to Hillary Clinton's recent speech to AIPAC, excuse me, she stated specifically that the interests of Zionism, the interest of the government of Israel, and the interest of the Jewish lobby in this country, and the interest of the Jewish population of the United States is by definition, the national interest of the United States and the interest, perceived moral and political interest and cultural interest of every American in this country. I find that to be an absolutely frightening concept. Can you imagine if I happened as a Lutheran pastor who is of German ethnic extraction? I am, of course, an American. I was born an American, albeit in Germany at an American military hospital there. But can you imagine that sort of outcry that would ensue if I was at a public political gathering in this country and made the statement to some German organization or some body of the German government or some so-called German-American cultural heritage group that the interests of Germany and the interests of the United States were one and the same? Boy, how do you think that would play? Or how do you think it would play if I said that those of us who are described in the press as German-Americans should have the kind of influence in this country that any negative references to Germany should simply be expunged from the historical record? How do you think that would play in the American press? Quite rightly, I would be decried as some sort of a lunatic, someone who did not have the best interests of America at heart, and I think that would be legitimate if I had ever uttered idiotic statements of that type. The fact of the matter is that whether you're looking at Mitt Romney or John Edwards or John McCain or Hillary Clinton or Pelosi or Hoyer or Bush or DeLay or any of these folks, they routinely say things on this as it relates to Israel and Zionism that are never questioned in the wider American media. Why is that? I think the answer is very, very clear. It gets back to what General Wesley Clark was talking about that was reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, that in fact it is not illegitimate, folks. General Wesley Clark said it and then backpedaled, but he directly linked Jewish New York money interest to this war with Iran and to the desire to prosecute it. This leads, of course, to another news story that was posted at lourockwell.com within the last couple of days. Eric Margolis weighs in to, in fact, indicate that there is a countdown to a war that is transpiring. And when you look through this, it pretty much is the case that we've been making from time to time in regard to the dangers of all of this. And at this particular juncture, there's no way of stopping this aside from the grace of God, it seems to me. And again, Eric Margolis, if you go to that piece at lourockwell.com, lays out the amount of money that's been involved, lays out the role of the Israeli lobby in all of this, lays out all of the American military deployments in that part of the world that we presently know about publicly as we piece them together from international news sources that suggest that the chess pieces are being put in place. There is a very definite linkage here on the part of Eric Margolis to this whole business of Admiral J. William Fallon and the fact that he has been moved from CINCPAC to CENTCOM in recent days, ostensibly not to continue a prosecution primarily of this unwinnable war of counterinsurgency with Iraq, but to begin putting into place the strategy of attacking Iran. Eric Margolis, of course, covers that and covers all of the dangers of this in his post with lourockwell.com. And one of the things that he does say that I want to emphasize, because we've been talking about it on this show, and we have had several Middle Eastern experts of international renown who have been on Mark Dankoff's America in recent days and weeks speaking about all of this, including Dr. Kaveh Farouk at the University of British Columbia up in Vancouver, that in effect we have the CIA, we have the British MI6, and we have the Israeli Mossad stirring unrest among Iran's Kurds and Azerbaijanis and arming Iranian Marxist and royalist exiles. That clearly is transpiring. This is what Eric Margolis is talking about in his piece for lourockwell.com. What is the point of all of this? That it is the same run-up, the same pattern in the run-up to the war with Iraq. We're seeing disinformation being disseminated in the corporate media. We're seeing establishment politicians lining up on one side of this issue and engaging in ad hominem attacks and innuendo against those who are not in support of this policy. We have the disposition of American forces in the region, which suggests that a wider war is coming. We have the support on the part of the British MI6 and the American CIA and the Israeli Mossad for separatist movements in the Iranian side of Azerbaijan, also in Kurdistan, also in Khuzestan province, also in Balochistan province. This is all known internationally. Correspondent after correspondent abroad has been talking about this and that the pieces of the puzzle are absolutely clear. Yet we have to ask ourselves the question as to why it is not clear yet to a broader cross-section of the American public that this thing is going to happen. It's going to happen unless there is a reversal, of course, that would involve essentially a miracle. And as a Christian pastor, I believe in miracles, but suffice it to say that if there isn't a miracle, this is precisely what is in store for you and for me in the days ahead. You know, something that I came across a couple of days ago, talking about this wider issue of the lock, stock, and barrel hold that the Israeli lobby has in the American political scene. Did you see the story in Reuters a couple of days ago in their political news section about Joseph Lieberman? Here, of course, we have a guy who was a nominee of the Democrat Party for the vice presidency of the United States. That's number one. He is clearly one of the top assets that the Jewish lobby has in the United States Senate. I don't think anyone can dispute that. Look at the money figures in the Federal Election Commission reports if you don't believe me. Lieberman is so valuable to this neoconservative war effort that even though he lost a Democrat primary for reelection, of course, up in his home state of Connecticut, that you then had Lieberman running as an independent and had the Bush administration and the Republican Party backing financially an effort to have Joe Lieberman, historically a Democrat, reelected to the United States Senate from Connecticut as an independent and undercutting his Republican challenger. Why did they do that? May have something to do with this idea of a terrorism tax. What is Joe Lieberman doing advocating a terrorism tax? We'll be back with that story in the final minutes of Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-6222. 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of the show, and I'm going to take one more caller in our final 6 minutes, but I would like to greet Memphis, Tennessee station WMQM AM 1600 to Mark Dankoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that is going to be airing this show, among other items. I wanted to mention again that Shireen Nashat, the Persian human rights activist from Los Angeles, will be on tomorrow. She represents a group called Sarbazan. You'll learn more about that tomorrow on this show. Chalmers Johnson, of Central Intelligence Agency fame in the late 60s and early 70s, a tenured professor at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego, going to be on for 30 minutes tomorrow at the end of my show talking about his new book, Nemesis, The Final Days of the American Republic. Kevin in Indiana, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff's America. Go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning, Mark. I hesitated to call in this morning because I, Valparaiso University is in the center of my rebroadcast region here. I rebroadcast about 3,600 square miles here in northwest Indiana.
I assume you're a conservative, Kevin?
Yes.
I hope you can influence some of the pinkos at my alma mater, but go ahead.
Oh, let me tell you, that's why I was going to bring this up. You know, Napoleon had a very famous quote. It said, religion is the only thing that keeps the poor from killing the rich. And the way things are going, that's pretty much what's going to happen next. And then the Bible also speaks about the fact that if Jesus didn't return before his appointed time, there'd be no flesh left alive. And he also said, will there be any faith when he returns? He questioned the fact, would there be any faith? So I don't know. We're pretty much right up against it here. And like I say, there you go. I hesitated to call in to say those things. But
You know, I'm glad you did, Kevin. I want to say something about Valparaiso University. I had an experience there. I hadn't been there in many, many years since I graduated from college. And I went through Valparaiso 10 years ago. I happened to be at a church conference in Indianapolis, and one day I drove from Indianapolis to Valpo and then subsequently to Chicago to see some of my old collegiate and graduate school haunts. And I went into the Chapel of the Resurrection at Valparaiso University, which is factually the largest university chapel in North America. And, you know, I had never noticed before as a student there that when you go up to the altar and the centerpiece window deals with Jesus Christ, the left panel deals with God the Father, the right panel with the Holy Spirit, that if you look at all of the individual panels within those three gigantic panes of glass, you'll find the seal and emblem of the United Nations up there around that altar. That's absolutely factual. I had never noticed it before when I was in college and was absolutely appalled by it. Sometime if you're there on the campus, go into the chapel, and it's open a lot for people to browse around. Go up to those glass windows in the main sanctuary and see if you can't find that thing. I almost, frankly, I'm trying to say this with some degree of decorum on the air, but let's just say that I had a real sickening feeling in the pit of my stomach when I saw that.
Well, yes, I get a sickening feeling every time I drive by the university, and which is quite often. So, but anyways, thanks for what
you
do. You
know, Hey, I'm glad you called, Kevin. I'm a graduate of the place, and I second exactly everything you're talking about. I knew a handful of good people there, but a much larger group of people that definitely were Tubesville. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, greetings for WMQM-AM in Memphis. We'll be on tomorrow with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan and Chalmers Johnson. God bless.